Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Brent Daugherty, Mickey Ryan, and Don Davenport. This is the 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone.
Welcome in, 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery, 2 o'clock in the Music City, and real technically anywhere in the Central Time Zone if you're scoring at home.
Although, if you're scoring at home, you're probably not listening to us.
Maybe you are. Background to that. That's Brent Daugherty, Mickey Ryan, JT Productions. Buck Rising normally joins us at 2:15, but his mic's on.
Hello. How are we doing, boys? I'd be listening at home if I was scoring at home.
That's quite a scene we've set here.
Wow. And with that, we'll tell you this. You can score some cash at 2:15 if you're listening. $1,000.
Am I eligible?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, you'll be here on with us, so you can't run to the other room and call and try
to win
the money.
You're not a Cumulus employee. So.
I am multi-talented, Mickey Ryan.
I have the keyword right now in front of me. We can work out a deal.
JT,
I will absolutely take you up on that.
Buck Rising, A to Z Sports. So what's up, man? When are you headed to Denver?
I head out tomorrow. The Mile High City.
Is it still snowy up there?
No, it was 70 today.
It was 10 degrees this morning, though.
Okay.
It's supposed to get to 70.
Kickoff a high of 72. So I'm preparing for all climate situations. And I am very excited. I've never been to Mile High Stadium. It's going to be a cool scene.
You're going to be ready for all climate situations. So you're taking like a trunk?
Yes, for
like a 2-day trip.
I always travel with some form of a trunk because of the amount of hair product that I use.
Do you need to know which dispensary to go to? JT can hook you up with that info.
No, I have done the advanced scouting. the legwork has already been done. I'm very thorough, boys. Very well researched in that regard.
You came in today and we started talking about a little bit about your segment, what we were going to discuss, and you said, you want me to be negative or do you want me to try to be positive? And we said, just tell the truth. So at 2:04, where do we stand as far as Titans truth on a Friday?
I asked Mike Vrabel, of course, head coach of the Tennessee Titans.
I honestly thought you were talking about Mike Keith.
I might have asked Mike too. Mike would be able to spin it positively.
It's funny that I think of Mike Keith before I think of Mike Vrabel.
I actually thought of Mike Mularkey when you said Mike.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That was a weird, awkward eye contact moment in Atlanta with Mike Mularkey, but that's for another day. Mike Vrabel, though, I asked him because Sunday we're all just kind of sitting there looking at him, and he's telling us all the things that he tells us after every game, regardless of win or loss. And
we
it's, you know,
coach him better.
Gotta coach him better.
Yeah.
Gotta play better. Look good, feel good, play good. And I asked him today, because it's literally three of us. It's me, Teron, or four of us. Me, Teron, Jimmy Wyatt, who is obligated contractually to be there, and then Eric Bacharach of the Tennessean. And I just like, so you told us Sunday that you weren't planning on changing anything with the approach. With that in mind, has anything clicked with these guys that wasn't otherwise clicking? And Mike gave me some cliche answer that didn't matter to anybody. And he's looking for consistency and this, that, and the other. And I appreciate his effort in the amount of time that it took for him to answer the question.
He said a lot of words.
But to be honest, I have no idea. Like, that's why they piss me off the most. They really, really do.
Let's talk, man. Okay.
We'll talk. You have 4 hours to talk about it. I have only a limited amount of time to talk about it. And I'm 5-0 because Kayla Anderson of Channel 2 makes me pick the games. I hate picking games. And I'm 5-0 so far. And every week I sit down either next to you, Mickey, in the Titans home press box or next to somebody on the road. I'm like, I have honestly no idea what the hell they're about to do. Every week.
I honestly think the coaches wonder that too.
It seems that way.
That's a bad place to be, right?
That's not a spot you want to exist.
That's why I think they made such a big deal publicly about being more consistent, because that's such a, I started to say pet peeve, but like a coach wants to know what he's going to get out of a specific player when he's on the field. And that's why, like, some guy who's never played before will go out there and throw two touchdowns. You're like, well, where in the hell has that guy been? Well, he doesn't practice well. So the coach that doesn't know what to expect when he puts him in doesn't put him in until he has to put him in, and then maybe he performs, maybe he doesn't.
Here's what I think they do benefit from. It's that Joe Flacco is hot trash, and that hurts me very badly because for whatever reason I have attached myself to Joe Flacco.
Why Joe Flacco?
Because I don't know. He's got great hair and I can identify.
But he's 6'6", like 240.
Did you fall under the Joe Flacco is elite crowd when there was such a crowd?
What do you mean? I'm still waving the flag. Okay. It's just me out here on the island.
Yeah, I don't think that took.
No,
yeah.
It's not. It's
but
not
you the were best. There for that. A young buck rising was all in on Joe Flacco, huh?
I was there. I remember watching the 2012 Super Bowl run with Flacco and how everything went right around Joe Flacco, and thinking, Marcus Mariota, similar situation. You could have everything in a contract year. Perhaps you play out the string, things get to a rocky start, Ray Lewis, your star defensive player, goes down, and you're still able to find the momentum to get through the playoffs, and all the bounces go in your favor, and then you get a big contract because of it, because Joe Flacco was holding them hostage. Mm-hmm. That's no longer the Joe Flacco that exists in Denver. They got lucky. That was a Chargers loss, if ever I have seen a Chargers loss, and if Phillip Rivers is going to play that poorly, then the Chargers are done.
Yeah.
Because everything else seems to be going wrong around them. I think, though, that it's such a bad team in Denver. I mean, if Vaughn Miller, his first two sacks of the season are coming last week in the one game that they've won, I just don't see how they can threaten you anywhere else. But the Titans' offensive line continues to disappoint, and so I don't know. But this is a bad team that they face. And if they have done anything this year consistently, it's that they look good on the road. Mm-hmm. They suck at home. Look good on the road. So maybe we'll see.
They suck as a favorite, and they look good as an underdog. They're an underdog in this one. They're 0-3 as a favorite. They're 2-0 as an underdog. Isn't that amazing?
No, because they're the Titans.
That's the consistency right there. That's consistency.
I mean, for you guys, though, you have seen so much more Titans football in your lifetimes than I have. And that's not meant to age you. That's simply the facts.
Well, I mean, you've seen basically like, 70% of the last, decade this season.
I've seen, yeah.
I mean, it's just up and down, and they'll end up somewhere around 8-8, 9-7.
But
I mean,
like,
they did have a sparse window there where they couldn't win at all. But it I get fans being frustrated for sure. With this pendulum. What did Delanie Walker call it the other day? The seesaw?
The seesaw.
Yeah.
They exist in this perpetual seesaw. But for you guys, does it feel different at 2-3 than it has in any other year? Because 2-3 is not on the surface an unmitigated disaster. And yet, this season feels so dire in the way that they have gotten to 2-3. Perhaps this is just my frame of reference.
No, that's an interesting way to look at it, because it feels a lot worse than that. That's really weird.
Well, good. Let's just continue this where I interview you guys on your own show.
But you've lost two division games against teams who don't have Andrew Luck and don't have Nick Foles. Those are the teams that you lost to. Meanwhile, Deshaun Watson's putting up numbers like a pinball game, so you know that's coming. And normally you're going to maybe split with them in the season. You really need to win every remaining division game, and that was after three games that challenge lay ahead for you.
And you haven't turned the ball over, yet you're 2-3, so at some point that stuff's going to even itself out.
They're one of six teams in the current, well, since the NFL merger in 1970, 50 years ago, there are six teams in 50 years that have one turnover through five games, and the Titans are one of those teams. And they're sacking the quarterback. I saw you putting out some stats about that earlier today.
17 sacks. They're tied for the fourth best sack-getting defense in football right now.
So there are metrics that you would say, just look at all these metrics of this team. But I think if you said, okay, but let me show you this one before we finish. This is what they're scoring a game. This is what they're allowing, but this is what they're scoring. You'd go, okay, this can't be very good then. The defense can't keep allowing 15 points a game. When they're on the field a lot, when the offense can't convert third downs. I mean, it feels dire just because it's in the offseason, I kept thinking, okay, Cam Wake is a nice addition. He played 47% of the snaps in Miami last year. What if you got six sacks from him? I don't feel like we've addressed that all the way. I don't feel like there's enough depth. And now you find out Sharif Finch and Cam Wake ruled out this week. So depth, pass rusher, that was a concern. Felt like the offensive line could be a concern. It's been a huge concern. And they spent a lot of money on Roger Saffold, and he's going to be here a while based on his contract. So some things that we wanted to see in the receivers, the drop rate's up high again for this crew. And we saw third down drops really victimize them last week. So it was, how will the receivers play? How will Marcus play? Can they sack the quarterback? A lot of the questions that we had, it feels like a lot of those questions aren't answered so far, or they're answered in not a good way so far. I think that contributes to the direness, if that's a word, of how this thing feels.
Our buddy Mike Herndon, Mike Miracles, over at Music City Miracles. I had him on the 615 Sessions podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe this week. And Mike starts the interview with, this is the worst season that I've had as a Titans fan. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, everything, you know, I understand, you know, I have been here long enough to understand everything that has gone into the lead up to this season and how the things have broken necessarily in a way that you would not want them to. But it's just the number of three and outs that they get. And I know we need to go to break. But the number of three and outs again, they are the second worst offense in the league behind the New York Jets.
You have Luke Falk playing quarterback.
Yeah, Kaharski came up with that stat yesterday. We'll hit you with that when we come back, because that's out of all the stats that are out there, this is maybe the most telling for sure.
HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Buck Rising hanging out with us two segments. His actual appearance starts now. He's with A to Z Sports.
Yo.
You can, will you kind of give people an update? Where all can they catch you? Where can they catch A to Z Sports?
So the A to Z Sports Network.
Network.
Now, A to Z Sports in the morning weekdays. Austin Stanley and Zach Bingham at 8 a.m. I am in the evenings. I will be broadcasting live from the press box in Denver, because I come to you Sunday to Thursday night at 8 p.m. Central Time. So Mile High Stadium will be my backdrop, which is fun. The 615 Sessions podcast is available wherever you can get your podcasts, and I am here every Friday at 2:15 or thereabouts.
Thereabouts-ish.
Ish.
Talking Titans.
Except when you show up early. And then we just
Rising. Then we just tell you to jump on.
Hey, real quick, Vincent on Twitter, at VLove615 now. Is where he is.
Okay, that's a moving target.
Who is this person?
He's the best.
He tweets me all the time.
He's the best.
Is this somebody I should be paying attention to?
Yes.
You need to pay attention.
Okay.
Yes.
Brent should pay more.
Like looking at me like pissed. Like, why aren't you?
I can't even believe this. Like, you should pay more attention to this guy than the mayor.
Oh, okay.
Of the city. Let the record show that I have scored at home with 3HL 104.5 in the background back in the noon slot days.
Mmm.
Just wanted to point that out. That's quite an announcement there from V-Love. He also just put out some 2017 Tinder Matt Neely. A lot of y'all know him through social media. He's called our show a bunch. Buck, I know you know him well.
It's my buddy.
Passed away yesterday. And I don't even know what to do with that.
I mean, I don't either. Mickey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No.
I got the news about 45 minutes before I had to do a show last night. And our shows, just like this one, are live, but I don't have commercial breaks. It's just kind of me and the internet for an hour, 45 minutes, or however long it goes. And, I mean, it's heartbreaking because Matt Neely and I did an interview with our buddy Eric Bacharach of the Tennessean, because he's asking people. I mean, Matt Neely is Titans Twitter. He is the person who makes you forget about the three-win seasons because of the creativity. I mean, he's an idea, or was an idea guy. Matt Neely helped me tremendously when I first got here, because there was nothing to differentiate me from any other slap on the internet who covers the Titans. And this was right when I was starting out, and Matt, you know, kind of Matt's part of the problem because Matt's the reason why I'm so loud on Twitter. He said, just don't worry about what people, you know, about decorum on the internet. Just go be loud. If you're loud, go be loud. And it was incredibly.
And you are loud.
I am loud.
Yes. So in other words, you be you.
Yeah, be you.
And he's significantly behind that Bussin' with the Boys project as well.
Yeah, he was their executive producer, and I was talking to Taylor Lewan today in the locker room about it. I mean, we share Matt as a mutual friend. And the Lewans have done him a great kindness and his girlfriend and his loved ones a great kindness by purchasing 69 of the Neely 69 jerseys.
Hang TN, if you know them, Hang 10. They've done Marcus jerseys. They do apparel. If you find them anywhere, they're on social media. They're selling a shirt for Matt with his name, and he had a number 69 jersey he wore everywhere. You can buy a T-shirt with his name and number on the back, and they're giving all the proceeds to help Matt and his family.
Yeah, we'll tweet that out here in a second. Chelsea Hornsby tweeted out last night, this is how everybody found out, I think for the most part. It's with the heaviest of hearts to let you all know that @MattNeely_ has passed away. The cause is unknown at the time, but I will give everyone funeral and visitation details as soon as I know them. He cared about y'all more than you know. #69, #soulmate.
It's heartbreaking.
So, yeah, prayers to here, Matt's family and friends and loved ones and certainly Chelsea.
Here's the interesting thing about this to me. You know, sports is funny. I mean, there's three radio stations that only do sports in this town. You know, there's national networks devoted to it. We got a whole bank of channels on the TV that are all about sports. Sports bring people together. And this is such a divisive time that we live in. Look at social media. If you vote different than me, if you're somewhere different, if you believe somewhere different. But the great thing about sports is you go to Nissan Stadium and on a Sunday afternoon for 3 hours, instead of hating somebody, you're high-fiving them. Instead of disagreeing with somebody, you're hugging them after a touchdown. And what's funny is when the game ends, you know, you say bye to all those people that sit around you, and maybe you go on to being a Democrat and them a Republican, and you go on to being a Baptist, and maybe they don't go to church anywhere, and all that just goes its separate way. But that melts away while your team plays. Your team gives you a family. They give you a place to go that a lot of people don't have in life. And I always looked at Matt as one of those guys of he embraced the whole Titans family. From all over the place. There are all these stories people are tweeting of, I was just going to come to town. I'm from Texas. I'd never been to a game. He picked me up at the airport. There are a million stories about Matt Neely that go that way just because this Titans family was his family, and you were welcome to join it and enjoy it. Good or bad, win or lose, that was his family, and he made this community and made so many people comfortable within that community. And now this guy is gone. It feels like we've all lost a friend. To the Tennessee Titans, they've lost one of their biggest fans that they've ever had. And you can really see a lot of people rallying around him. But in this time of division, this was a guy who led a bunch of people and said, let's just root for the Titans together. Let's just celebrate this together.
I couldn't agree more. And you know, from a more business perspective, I mean, the Titans, they lose somebody who helped generate interest in them in a way that they have really done a poor job of. And Nate Bain's my friend who runs their social media. And Nate is restricted from certain things that Matt was not.
Yeah.
But Matt, you know, like I identified with Matt because we were both kind of born on Twitter. You know, this is how we found our voice. And Matt and I don't know how the hell he got past all the rights issues for the All in the Family stuff that he would put out, the videos, the collaborations that he would put together, yep. Marcus Mariota hype videos with Post Malone in the background, the Sunflower song. God knows what kind of fees he was accruing based on the rights issues that he was violating. But he did it constantly. And it's what got, I mean, the nicest thing that he ever said to me, and I really regret not being more appreciative, and this is always the thing that you say in retrospect, but I really appreciated the fact that when he came up to me after he got the job with Lewan and Compton, and he said, I pitched them the TMC, which was the radio show I used to do. I pitched them a Tackling Music City model, where it's just You're bringing in your friends and you're doing a radio show. You're just hanging out. And it doesn't have to, you know, it's a different group of people on a regular basis. But it's just conversational. It's just, you're there to talk about sports and the things around sports with the people who you enjoy conversating with. It's not structured, really. Because I didn't have any structure. I was just doing it. And he told me that. And that, I mean, that meant a lot to me. Because Matt was an idea guy. And to think that something that I had that was worthy of being used similarly, that meant a great deal. And so I, that hurt yesterday. Yeah,
prayers up. He was only 30 years old, right?
Right around 30.
Right around there. Yeah.
Right around 30. Mm.
When we come back, we'll finish up our Titans discussion with Buck Rising for today. We'll hit the stat that we had teased earlier. We'll get all that to you. But, again, from this show and from everybody involved with 3HL, and I'm sure a whole lot of people in this radio station, rest easy, Matt Neely. You will sure be missed, my friend. HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. More segment with Buck Rising talking Titans here. At Buck Rising on Twitter, you can catch his Twitter hands, as he says there, at any time. He's more than willing to interact with you any way that you choose. Is that a fair way to say it?
Come get these Twitter hands.
Come
at
get
Buck
these
Rising.
Twitter hands.
Sounds a little bit, I don't know, scandalous, gross, all of those things.
All it results in...
Entertaining.
If you've lost... All it results in is a painted nail emoji, and then we move on.
Yeah. I've never in my life used that emoji.
Jeffrey Simmons, now headed back, but ready to practice. They're hoping he'll play, next week in the home game? Is that right? Or he'll practice next week, then play the following week?
Reportedly.
Our friend
has
Paul.
Has been reported, yes.
Our friend Paul, Paul Kaharsky, paulkaharsky.com.
Practice week 6, possibly play week 7.
That's the idea. And for me, Jeffrey Simmons has not factored into my thinking until 2020. Like, I've just kind of put him out of sight, out of mind. And Paul, fortunately, has better information than I do. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I did this on the primetime show. I guess that would have been Tuesday when the report came out, maybe Wednesday. And I said, you know, I asked the question, what is your level of optimism, like scale of 1 to 10? What is your level of optimism for the Titans season that the news that Jeffrey Simmons may return, what does that give you? And for me, I swear to God, it's a 0. What does he do that you don't already have? I mean, they legitimately have a defense that you could consider elite. And that's lovely, but can he play right guard?
I brought that up the other day, actually. Oh, my guess is yes.
Oh, I'm sorry to steal your joke.
No, you're good, but I my guess is yes. Right.
I mean, he's big.
Hey, Derrick Henry. See that guy? Run behind him.
Run behind him. Run behind the man child. He cannot
big Jeff.
He cannot catch the ball on third down unless
maybe
he is going.
He could.
Perhaps he would report eligible, like David Quessenberry.
Yeah.
You know how that turned out.
It's a nice thing that you may get. He's a rotational player at best when he first comes back, but he doesn't solve any of the problems you have. Now, does it help free up things defensively because you don't have to disguise as much? You don't have to send Logan Ryan as much. Maybe you have to. Maybe it allows you to use Jayon Brown and Rashawn Evans a little more as they're intended to be used.
Thank you. All of those things. I was like, please don't put a big wet blanket on my big Jeff thing here.
No. Listen,
I'm very excited about this dude, Buck.
Oh, you look at him. You drafted Ndamukong Suh. There's no way you can't be excited about him. You drafted Ndamukong Suh, but bigger. But he's not a right guard.
Maybe he takes that 15-point-per-game average down to, you know, 12 or so.
Oh.
And you only got to score 13 to
and
try to win 13
games. 13 to 12.
Yeah. I don't think an interior defensive lineman is shifting the balance of power quite in that
form. I think he has the ability to give them a four-man rush. And like you said, it's going to free up other – not day one and not the first game. And I don't expect him to go out and play 30 snaps from the jump. But I do think he's a guy who could help crush the cylinder. Jarrell Casey has been their best player on this team until now when Brett Kern is.
Yes.
But for the longest time, it was Jarrell Casey. He was their best player on the team. And, I mean, that's a lot to carry for a long, long time. I think he's going to be like when you got an older dog and you get a puppy and suddenly the old dog is renewed. I'm not calling Jarrell an old dog, but I think this is going to renew his career because he's going to have a guy who does what he does with one guy between him. And I think their ability to crush and destroy the cylinder will also push the quarterback out to Harold Landry and Gilbert and Correa, who are about all the guys they got left since Cam Wake and Fitch aren't going to play this week.
What if Big Jeff, he comes in like, I don't know, mid-second quarter, his first snap, he comes in, immediately blows up the interior offensive line of the Chargers, gets to Phillip Rivers, picks him up, twirls him around above his head, and then throws him on the Charger bench.
And get a 15-yard penalty for that.
I'll take it.
Worth it.
Yeah.
I'll take 45 on that.
Well, there'll be a lot of people around the league who probably cheer. But Rivers would get up jawing at him, you know. Would get up jawing at him. He would.
Why do you hate Phillip Rivers?
I don't hate him as far as his procreational abilities and that kind of thing.
Well,
but
I mean, that's well documented.
Mickey, I will not leave this studio until you admit on air that you hate Phillip Rivers.
I just don't like the jawing. Stop jawing.
Why? Isn't that what people are asking Marcus Mariota to do?
I don't think they're asking him to be Phillip Rivers. Now, win like Phillip Rivers, at least until the playoffs. I mean,
see? Look at you. Okay. Look at you giggle like a schoolgirl because of Phillip Rivers' playoff record. Shame on you.
Is he a Hall of Famer to you?
Oh, I don't care.
Because some decisions are going to have to be made about guys like him, because everybody's got a bunch of yards now.
No, if you don't win a Super Bowl, you can't be a Hall of Famer.
Is that the way that works?
If we're having a conversation about Eli Manning not being a Hall of Famer with
two Super Bowl rings. Not a Hall of Famer.
And so by that definition, Phillip Rivers is not.
Okay.
Back to Jeffrey Simmons, though. He's a nice piece that I think will be able to help in a big way. The most important thing in the sport, other than quarterback play, is the ability to get pressure with four. He gives you that ability. And so that will make a big difference based on what they can do defensively. Perhaps it leads to more turnovers because they can leave more people back in coverage. Perhaps it leads to more disguise in the secondary and in the linebacker core because of Dean Pease. And Jeffrey Simmons make a difference. But at best, I'm thinking of him. I mean, he's taking – whose snaps is he taking? Is he taking Daquan's?
Yes, probably.
I wouldn't give up Daquan. Daquan Jones, for what he is – Daquan Jones is doing his job.
He is. But, I mean, initially, what are you talking about? 12 to 15 snaps? I mean, none of us know. It's all speculation. But
There would be people with pitchforks in the street if Jeffrey Simmons only got 12 to 15 snaps.
Well, you
got to
get him into game shape.
Yeah, but people are dumb.
What's the third down stat we have?
All right, Paul Karski put this out there yesterday. This is awesome. The Titans, well, awesome. And not that.
Is it?
Awesome, but... It's an amazing stat.
I lady giggled.
The Titans, yes, you did. The Titans have gone 3-and-out on 29.8% of their drives this season. That's second most in the NFL. Think about that. That's 1 out of every 3. The league average is 20%. So if you're thinking, that's only 9% off. No. You need to think in terms of this. 1 out of every 3 Titans drives are ending in a 3-and-out. 1 out of every 5 on average in the NFL. That's 2 more.
Blech.
Exactly.
Blech. That's so bad. It's the most infuriating part about them. It is a perfect microcosm of who they are. They have, in the sport, the second most explosive plays of 40-plus yards or more behind the Kansas City Chiefs. They have 6 of them. They had 6 all of last year. The Chiefs have 8.
Yeah.
And yet you are the second worst team in the sport at converting at accumulating 3-and-outs. No wonder Brent Kern's the best player on the field. He has to be. He's out there so damn often.
The Miami Dolphins are 5 places in front of the Tennessee Titans at 26.
All right, let me
Dolphins,
ask,
by the way, giving up 41 points per game, an NFL team. That is unbelievable. The New York Jets are the worst at 3-and-outs. They have the most. 40% of the time, the Jets go 3-and-out.
All right, let me stop your heaving spell. I told you I was going to ask you this question. I asked it on Twitter earlier this weekend on the 3HL Facebook page.
Blech.
3 things you could do right now that are realistic. So it's not fire everybody or bench everybody or dump everybody, because we always get those. What are 3 realistic things? Because if you're saying, hey, maybe the defense doesn't need any help, what would you do? General Manager Buck Rising. 3 things right now that are imminently doable.
Hire an analytics staff.
Okay.
Hire an analytics staff to be in Mike's ear. And even if he doesn't listen to him, at least you know that Mike is the problem then. Because what Frank Reich, and, you know, the comparison is always going to be made to Frank Reich, because Vrabel interviewed for the job with the Colts, didn't get it. They hired Josh McDaniels, and then Josh McDaniels told him to kick rocks.
Right.
And they stumbled into Frank Reich. But what Frank is able to do other than fine-tune them offensively is he has two designated people in his ear helping him play the percentages. At least you can remove the threat of the bad decision-making with a designated analytics staff, which is what you need to keep pace. If you're not going to be able to score 25 points a game, you have to play smarter. You have to tip the advantage in your favor. Analytics staff.
One.
Secondly, secondly, I would move Jack Conklin inside and let Dennis play right tackle.
Oh, there!
That was one of mine.
Not going to do that, right?
No, he said he would not move Dennis inside.
Okay.
We didn't ask him about Jack. That's a bad job out of us.
Okay.
But I would move Jack inside, and you know, if Jack hasn't been a baby about them not picking up the fifth-year option, perhaps he will handle it well, and there's a pay cut associated with it, but perhaps somebody else will pay him to play right tackle. That's fine. Move Jack Conklin inside and let Dennis play right tackle. He's one of your five best. Thirdly, you have to get Delaney involved more. You have to. We were talking about this before we came to air today, but Delaney Walker has to be at least a little more featured in your offense.
Four targets in the last two games.
Unacceptable.
Two in each of those games.
And yes, he dropped a third and four last week, but that's all you saw of Delaney.
Right.
He's based on my observation and my film study ability is limited. I'm not Coach Mack, but I can tell in the way that Delaney Walker runs his routes and the way that Delaney Walker is still able at 35 to get open that he can be reliable. Mm-hmm. Why they are not utilizing him more, beyond me. Those are the three things that you start with, because the protection needs to be better. Mike Vrabel's decision making needs to be better, and you cannot keep going three and out. Cannot. It's infuriating.
Buck Rising never goes three and out.
Not a chance in hell. I wouldn't give you the opportunity.
At Buck Rising on Twitter joins us each and every Friday right around this time in the 2 o'clock hour. Thank you, Mr. Buck Rising.
Always a pleasure.
All right. Get his Twitter hands again at Buck Rising.
Twitter.